Public hearing is subdivision number 2012-1, Ralph E. and Betty F. Marvel.
It's an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 3.89 acres into five lots. Also requesting a waiver from the street design requirements and a waiver from the forested buffer requirements, and to be located on the easterly side of Road 346, also known as Holt's Landing Road, 847 feet north of Route 26, being Vines Creek Road. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments on this application.
Mr. Chairman, the Technical Advisory Committee review of February 20th of this year is a part of the record. On December 7th, 2011, we received a letter of no objection from DLDOT for the entrance. On March the 12th, Mr. Fuquay submitted a small exhibit packet. Each of you has received a copy of that. On March 20th, we received a soils report from Coastal Soils indicating that the site meets the current DENREC requirements for on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems. They would have to submit that to DENREC to get their actual septic approvals or the septic feasibility. And yesterday, we received a letter. It's addressed to whom it may concern. We wish to register opposition to the above proposed subdivision. The planned subdivision is directly behind our house and as such would directly impact us by providing negative impacts to the aquifer from which we draw our well water by pushing more runoff into our local tributaries and by altering the atmosphere of our neighborhood, cramming residential dwellings into a space that part of our rapidly disappearing Delaware agricultural heritage. We feel that the blend of the quiet neighborhood and agricultural land is one of the great aspects of the community and should not be altered. We respectfully request the commission consider this and that the current owners of the parcel in question consider maintaining the agricultural aspect of the community. And that was from Margaret and Patricia Lane and sons Gavin L. Waters and Graham L. Waters and families.
Mr. Acting Chairman, one other thing I wanted to get into the record was a letter from Mr. Fuquay just confirming some information with regard to the subdivision, and I'll just read it and then give it to Mr. Abbott. It says, Dear Mr. Robertson, the above proposed application, which is this one, is for a small four-lot family subdivision served by an access easement. It is proposed that each deed will contain language obligating the owner to share equally in the cost of maintenance and repair of the access road and any other common improvements. In addition, the agricultural use notice will be included if applicable. Please let me know if a more formal or detailed description of the above is required. And so that's kind of consistent with how we treat all subdivisions. They need to show proposed maintenance of the roadways and reference to the ag notice if it's required. So I'll make that part of the record. And that's all I have, Mr. Acting Chairman.
Okay.
Could I ask Mr. Abbott to repeat that part? I had a little trouble hearing about the letter from Coastal Soils.
We received a letter from Coastal Soils. It was signed by Jay Duke, and he's done the soil borings on the site and found that the soil is receptive for the current DENREC regulations, but they would have to submit that report to DENREC to get the actual septic approval or feasibility statement.
Okay. So we don't have a septic feasibility at this time. Thank you.
All right. Okay, John. It appears as though we have Mr. Fuquay with us. Pass the baton back.
Good job.
I work hard.
Well, just taking
Mr. care of that ahead of formerly acting chairman, Mr. Chairman. for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney representing the applicant, who is Betty Marble. She is the owner of the property, and with me is Jeff Marble, which is Mrs. Marble's son. Simply put it, this is an application for a small family subdivision. As was mentioned, there was a small exhibit documents that were submitted that I refer to. The land is located on the easterly side of County Road 346, which is Holt's Landing Road in Baltimore 100. It's just off of Route 26. And the total parcel contains 3.89 acres of land. and the subdivision proposes dividing the acreage into a total of 5 lots. That would be 4 new lots and then a residual lot from the existing acreage. Each lot would be a minimum of 3/4 acres. The lots would have access by way of a 50-foot easement from Holt's Landing Road. The easement would be located on the side of the residual lot and the front of the lots that are numbered 1 and 4. The location of the easement is the location of the current access to the property. And as Mr. Abbott stated, Del Dutt did issue a letter of no objection as to the lot's entrance there and the 50-foot easement. And that letter is in the exhibit package. Also, as I indicated in the letter to Mr. Robertson, each deed would contain language obligating that the lot owner would share equally in the cost of maintenance and repair to the access road. We are requesting that the streets be permitted to comply with the street standard for development of 4 or fewer lots, and that's in the subdivision ordinance in section 9918C3. And what that provides is a standard of 2 inches of crusher run stone compacted by rolling in place over an approved subgrade. The proposed lots would have individual on-site wells. They would have individual on-site septic systems. And again, as Mr. Abbott mentioned, a soil study was performed by Coastal Soil Consultants. That study did indicate that the soils do meet the DENREC requirements for on-site systems, and of course, that would then have to be presented to DENREC to actually move forward, but that has not been done at this time. As to the other considerations listed in Section 99C of the subdivision ordinance, again, this is a very small subdivision, so there's minimal impact. The land is flat. It has been farmed in the past. There is an existing residential subdivision that's located on the north and the east of the site. This side, Blackwater Cove. The lands to the south are owned by Paul Marvel. Mr. Marvel is Jeff's uncle, and that land is farmed. There are no wetlands or floodplains impacted by the proposal. There's no natural or historic features. There's no great changes or objectionable features created. And there would be minimal impact on schools and waterways. We believe the use is compatible with adjacent residential uses. As I said, the Blackwater Cove subdivision is located next to us. That subdivision contains about 46 lots and basically was built next to the Marvel property. There are also residential lots located on the north side of Holt's Landing Road across the road from the property. And if you look at the tax map that's in that package, you can see that there's several other residential subdivisions located in close proximity to the site. Because of the small number of lots, the 3/4 acre size of the lots, and the nature of the existing uses, the Marvels are requesting that the 20-foot forested buffer not be required. And again, the only adjoining agricultural lands are the lands to the south, which are Jeff's uncle's lands. That's basically the technical aspects of the application, but the actual reason for the application is really about the family. The land was actually purchased by Jeff's grandfather back in 1929, so it's been in the family for over 80 years. After Mr. Marvel's grandfather's death, Mr. Marvel left the land to his 2 sons. Jeff's dad inherited this land, and his uncle inherited the other land. Jeff's father passed away in August of 2010, and the land passed to Jeff's mother, Betty. And it's Betty's intention, as well as it was the intention of Ralph, that the land be subdivided to create 4 lots to be conveyed to Ralph and Betty's 3 sons. That's Jeff, Emerson, and Gary, and also to their grandson, Chad. So the application is, in effect, a family subdivision for the existing generation, and obviously, as with any land, is eventually going to be sold to somebody else, either going to be sold or through death going to pass to somebody else. Sure. But the immediate intention is that this would be conveyed to the family members. Shane did mention that there was a letter of objection from a lot owner. That is a lot in Blackwater Cove. Just the only short statement I would mention is that Blackwater Cove is 46 lots that were built next to the Marvels land, and that letter alleges that the Marvels are cramming four lots next to the 46 lots in the subdivision, and that they really think the agricultural land should be preserved behind their house.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As you know, this is AR, three-quarter acre lots are permitted use, and I think you would recognize that there's no legitimate basis to that objection. So in conclusion, we are requesting preliminary approval with the subdivision being permitted to have the 2-inch crusher run standard and the waiver of the 20-foot buffer. And that's everything I have to present other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And I believe we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Fuqua. Answered most of my questions. I just wanted to reiterate there is going to be a road maintenance agreement on this if you're granted the waiver from the street design requirements.
Yeah, again, obviously, because of the size of this, there's not going to be any complicated restrictions, but each deed would contain a restriction obligating equal responsibility for road maintenance and repair. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea what those other deed restrictions may be?
I don't know if there are going to be any other ones, to be honest with you.
Okay.
One question you ask on the subdivisions in AR district, is this going to be used or permitted to have mobile homes, not mobile homes, but double-wide manufactured homes?
Are they a permitted use in the AR?
On a three-quarter acre lot. But usually they ask, but it can be restricted.
That wasn't the intention. I mean, I don't think there was any thought given to that, to be honest with you. I forgot on a three-quarter acre lot, that is a permitted use in the AR.
Yeah, if it's an old subdivision with three-quarter acre lots, they're not permitted because it wasn't presented in that manner. Right. That's why I asked.
I honestly don't think there's been any thought given to that. I'd have to speak to Jeff about that.
We get to review the restrictive covenants, I guess.
No, there's certain requirements on a big major subdivision that I review as part of the TAC report, but it's
the road maintenance and the ag notice, things of that nature.
You know, maintenance of the stormwater sediment, that type of control. But it's proposed restrictions. There's not a code requirement that says.
How about if I advise you that will be a restriction saying there will not be manufactured houses on the property?
There you go.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
And that would be an acceptable condition of approval.
Ross?
I know, Mr. Fuqua, that you stated the crushing one stone over a base, but it slipped. What kind of a base was it?
I don't know. I'm reading what the actual subdivision ordinance says, and what it says in there that the standard for a subdivision of four lots or less is 2 inches of crusher-run stone compacted by rolling in place over an approved subgrade.
So it has to be reviewed by Public Works.
Yeah.
Right. So it would be a select fill or something of that nature. And
whatever that standard is that should work.
And the only other question I have is I noticed that on the drawing you've got the easement running all the way to the property line. And there's
no need.
You really don't need to run that.
It was drawn that way and it was submitted, but the final, I think, would be revised because there'd be no need to run it all the way.
Well, and you know, maybe in lieu of a cul-de-sac, because sometimes the fire people would say, well, we want a turnaround of some kind. But a turnaround might work better than a cul-de-sac in this case. But you could cut that short.
Yeah.
And still, you probably end up gaining property.
But then we have to do it.
Right. And then just do a little turnaround in case the fire engine has to go up there or something to you know,
I did. Greg Hook prepared the plans, and he's away. That's why he couldn't be here tonight. But I did have the discussion with him because I pointed out the same thing, that it didn't need to run all the way to the end.
Okay, that's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
If you place a cul-de-sac or a turnaround, you have to provide for at least 100 foot of frontage or 100 foot of width at the setback requirements. So it just has to be designed, and it could be moved substantially forward, depending on design, and still maintain a three-quarter acre lot. But you're reducing the length of it. That's only an easement, though, isn't it?
100-foot, is that right?
That'd be 100-foot of width at the setback point from the front of the property line, which would be 30 feet. So you create pies, shapes. It's not right at the frontage. It's at the setback point of 30. But the front, they could have a minimum of 30, but depending on the angles.
Is that different for commercial use?
Same on any cul-de-sac. Doesn't matter.
But for commercial use, is that any different?
Commercial use has actually a commercial district, has, if you have a cul-de-sac, has a lesser. It's only 75 minimum.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand that.
It's based on a zone category. So you got MRGR 75, AR would be 100.
It takes less business to turn around a ladder truck than a straight truck, I guess. Okay.
No, I'm just saying width is a lot, not the cul-de-sac, but the lot itself.
Right. Okay. I'm good, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right then.
Yeah, that's
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Fuquay, would you repeat why you're wanting the forested buffer to be waived?
There's plenty of land here, obviously. The lots are pretty deep.
That's the same. That's the same.
And it's let me qualify this by, I may not be up to speed on the ordinance, but I was a little confused by the ordinance because in section 9916D of the subdivision ordinance, it says that a 20-foot forested buffer along the perimeter that is adjacent to agricultural farmland. And then under the definition of the forested buffer, it seems to imply that you have to have a buffer around the entire perimeter of a subdivision. Now, I was confused because you wouldn't normally have a requirement in a definition. In other words, a definition would just be a definition. So the only thing in the subdivision ordinance really addressing it says it's only next to ag lands. So I wasn't, honestly, I'm not sure exactly what the requirement is. But the ag lands in this case, as I said, are Mr. Marvel's uncle. And that, quite frankly, is the last piece of farmland at this corner. So I don't think it's going to be there, you know, indefinitely. So I just, again, don't think it's needed, and it is, at least at this point in time, a family matter. So I don't think they would require anything. As far as if the buffer was required the whole distance, I mean, you're basically having residential lots butting up to residential lots, and these are pretty deep lots here. Again, I don't think it would be needed, although I'm not positive it's required. But
Mr. Lang, Mr. Robson, is there not an ordinance that requires a buffer between subdivisions?
It's required, but it's also you can get the waiver for the reasons that Mr. Fuquay's talked about, and on three lotters too. I mean, I don't know that it's ever been required either.
And the buffer's a separate parcel to be maintained by the HOA, not the on individual lots. So you take out the whole 20-foot strip all the way around, and they wouldn't have the number of lots they're requesting.
For buffer on the other side?
Mm-hmm. Those are older ones.
They're old. It's really not appropriate for this, I don't think.
Have we ever waived between subdivisions?
I think we've on smaller things like this. I think we've waived before, haven't we?
Well, the old regulation only related to agriculture. The amendment to the ordinance, which was done in
2008.
Yeah.
Was reduced from 30 to 20 in reference to the perimeter. We haven't had that many subdivisions of any size to really answer that question.
That's true. Yeah.
Since 08.
That's why I said I wasn't real familiar with it, because I don't know. I don't think I've done a subdivision
haven't
since 08.
Haven't been doing a lot of that kind of work lately.
Hasn't been an issue, actually, the number of feet.
And the problem is on the smaller ones, too, if you start adding a 20-foot buffer around the whole perimeter, you potentially lose a whole lot, you know, because
it came up with a problem with that one subdivision where the, I forget what they did. It was, they built the stormwater ponds in the buffer area, right?
Well, they weren't really required, but it made a stink about it, yeah. Right.
Got that all stirred up, I believe.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir.
That was my question has been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
I probably asked enough already.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
None, thanks.
All right, then, Mr. Fuquay, we thank you. You'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2012-1, Ralph E. and Betty F. Marble? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2012-1? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.